Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to...
And welcome...
What you've been waiting for all the week.
Thinking
about and waiting for. Oh, it's been such a long time.
Oh my goodness, golly.
Oh me, oh my. I know you couldn't handle it. I'm like kind of doing an accent, but not really. You know when that happens?
Yeah, on the verge of an accent.
It's like almost happening, and I know if I like leaned into it, I could really lean into it, but I gave up. I stopped.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
If I lean
into an accent too hard, I might get stuck.
It'll
that way.
Stay forever.
Yeah, that's dangerous. No one wants that.
Nobody's asking for that.
No one wants
not even
just, like,
one bit.
Show up one day and just have a new accent.
I've accidentally done that before. One time, I took a trip for a week to Indiana, and I didn't know this, but I'm pretty susceptible to accents. And susceptible, I mean, I'll pick them up and I'll keep them. And I came back from that trip saying things like, "Oh yeah, the water." And I was
water.
Like, "Wait, what?" Like, I had to fight myself from trying not to say things like, "I'm from Indiana."
That's quite an accent to pick up too. Like, that's not a cute
right?
accent to pick
no,
up.
No, it's
no
weird.
No offense, weird, Indiana people.
No offense,
but...
Indiana. We love you, but you got an interesting Midwestern accent.
You don't.
I already have a weird Southern Ontario accent that I'm fighting with. Like, I on that on top of it, it's really weird.
Yeah, that's enough. And then if you like add another accent to that, it's like, no, this is just odd.
Yeah, I sounded like I was an extra in The Music Man. Very like, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. It was really weird.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, this is Ghosts Are Everywhere.
That's right. Correct.
Today, we're here with our regular old accents that you know and love.
And you're welcome to it. I'm Carly.
I'm Cecilia.
And... welcome to our voices, how they normally sound.
How they always sound, and we've never done anything different than this, ever, ever.
Correct. We don't know how to do accents. We lied
never,
a minute ago.
Ever. I would never. Carly would
no,
never.
No, never. Not once.
That would be offensive to ourselves and our true selves.
That's right. We always want to show up here as our authentic selves.
We would never pretend
no
to
shenanigans.
Be anything we're not.
No, because pretending is for the birds. Say it with me. Pretending is for the birds.
The Lord says, thou shalt not pretend
That's
to
correct.
Be someone else.
That's what Moses put on that rock. I heard it.
Thou shalt be your true, authentic self at all times. And not do an accent or pretend.
Yeah.
God
never pretend.
Hates
pretending is the
actors.
Devil. Acting, I hardly know that thing.
Acting is unholy, and I know because I'm a Jesus guy, a God-loving
You're definitely
guy.
A Jesus guy. If anything, Cecilia, above all, is a Jesus guy.
Big Jesus guy.
Big Jesus guy. Yeah, that's what it's going to say on your tombstone at the end of the day. Cecilia Grady, big Jesus guy.
Big
Amen.
Jesus guy. That's like my link. That's what it says on my LinkedIn, like the headline when you write my job is.
Yeah.
Big Jesus guy.
Big Jesus guy. Like your Instagram bio. Big Jesus guy.
Yeah. That's what everyone knows me for is my love of the Lord.
Well, you're very authentic and you want everyone to know about your fact that you're a big Jesus guy.
I love to preach the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and... let everybody know that he loves you no matter what, except for if you're a pretender.
That's nice. Oh, no! So the group The Pretenders are out.
He hates them.
He doesn't like Motown. He's not a fan.
No.
Nope.
Hey, are The Pretenders Motown?
Are they?
I don't think
so. Am I thinking of The Temptations?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I am.
The Pretenders are like punk. Wait, I have to look this up.
Yeah, they're definitely punk. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's not right, Carly.
Oh, yeah. They sing Back on the Chain Gang and I'll Stand by You. And don't get me wrong.
Nice.
Oh, The Pretenders are good. They're not punk. They're more like...
they're more just vibey.
Rock and roll, baby.
Do The Pretenders do I Would Walk 500 Miles? Who does that? Because I would like to worship them instead. The Proclaimers! They're the Proclaimers.
You're right.
Is Jesus about the Proclaimers? Does he like them?
Yeah, because they're proclaiming the word of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, I'm on the bandwagon. I'm back.
The Proclaimers are God's favorite band.
I mean, they're out here proclaiming. They're saying amen.
They're out there proclaiming.
But they're out on a rooftop, on a hilltop somewhere, just shouting to the skies. Mm-hmm. The word of... that they're going to walk 500 miles.
Yeah.
And they're going to walk 500 more.
To fall down at your door. And your door. Whose door is it? It's Jesus' door.
The church door. Knock, knock. Jesus answers. That's the door.
How did this start? We're here to talk about Jesus. And that's what this podcast is about. We're here to talk about
Jesus. Hey, you know what else Jesus knows about for sure?
Ghosts.
And is very important? Yeah. To him, ghosts.
Yes. Yeah. God loves ghosts. And today we're going to talk about ghosts.
God loves ghosts. Pass it on.
And we're going to talk about them today. And they're our best friends. And
correct.
Carly, who talk about ghosts first?
Me talk about ghosts first. Thank you for asking. Yeah, that's me talk.
Great. So yeah, today,
I'm really excited.
It's a choose your own.
Oh, baby. You know how we be choosing. We be choosing our own.
We be choosing, and we didn't check it with each other if we picked the same thing, so maybe we have the same story.
Oh, maybe, but hopefully not. Fingers crossed.
It's a choose your own.
There's a whole wide world of spooky spectaculars out there. Let's hope we didn't choose the same ones.
There are so many spooky spectaculars out there, and this week Carly picked one, and I picked one, and we didn't tell each other anything about what we picked. We just know that there has to be a ghost involved somewhere.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have a ghost involved somewhere. Do you have a ghost involved somewhere this week?
It's called a ghost.
Ooh, drama.
His name has ghost in it, but it's not really a ghost.
I love that. Yeah, we usually pick a story from anywhere, anyone, usually ghosts.
Usually ghosts.
Although.
Sometimes.
Cecilia does ones that have less than ghosts. Sometimes I do too. You know,
if there's another thing we know about me, one thing we know about me is that I'm a big Jesus guy. The other thing we know about me,
that's what we've been saying. We've tried to say that, yeah.
Is I'm a big not rules guy.
For sure. Not a small not rules guy, not a small Jesus guy. Always big with you.
Not rules.
Yeah. As big not rules.
I don't like rules. Give me too many rules.
You like to set rules and then go, I don't need to follow that rule.
I'm a rebel.
Even though I'm the one that made it. That's what you like to say.
I'm a real rebel. And sometimes on my ghost podcast, I pick something that's not ghost.
Hey, but at least it's always spooky. So it's
at least there's that.
We let it happen and we don't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. But today, what I'm going to be saying something about.
Is it a ghost?
Is definitely ghosts.
Oh my god, okay.
So
I don't think we picked the same thing then.
Ready. Yeah, we definitely didn't based on your preliminary whispers about your topic.
That's my sneak peek, is maybe not a ghost.
Maybe Celia didn't do a ghost. Shocking. Okay.
What do you got?
Here I go.
Where are we going? What do you got? Who is it?
You're gonna get ready. I'm gonna say it right in my first line.
Okay.
At the southern area of the state of Florida lies a natural tropical wetland called the Everglades. Ooh, we're going to the Everglades, baby.
Carly, we should go to the Everglades.
We should absolutely, but also not at the same time. Because the Everglades are the scariest place in the world to be.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, the two of us shouldn't go at the same time. Like, yeah, we should go to the Everglades, but not together. I'm not going with you
because you're a big Jesus guy, and everyone knows that in the Everglades, they don't like big Jesus guys.
Are you sure?
The rest of Florida, they're all about Florida. Big Jesus guys. Yeah. But I don't know about the Everglades. I want to go to there, obviously. I just don't want to go deep in there because... I am concerned for our lives.
Because of the Jesus guys or because of the, like, gators?
Yeah, the gators, I would say. I don't think the Jesus guys are less of a concern for me than the gators.
It's the wildlife that you're afraid of?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Just the deadly swamps. You know, that's really...
Yeah, I'm in. I'm really going to the deadly swamps. I'm going to go dip my feet in those deadly swamps.
She's gonna just walk all through them. It's fine. You're a Jesus guy. You'll make it through.
Yeah. I can walk on water like Jesus. He gave me his powers.
You can. He did?
Yeah.
It's because you're a big Jesus guy, not a small Jesus guy. Yeah. Sorry.
He taught me how. We're best friends.
Oh my God. Or as you would say, oh my Jesus.
Oh my Jesus. I don't know. I would say, yeah, I would never say that. You don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I guess I'm not a big Jesus guy. It goes to show. Say, I don't. What do I know?
Oh my gator.
Oh my gator.
Okay, what's in the swamps?
Well, beginning at the Kissimmee River near Orlando. I'm going to explain what the Everglades are for folks if they don't know what the Everglades are.
Okay.
Because beginning at the Kissimmee River near Orlando, which we all know that's where Disneyland lives, flowing south to the Florida Bay, it is approximately 7,800 square miles, a.k.a. 20,000 kilometers squared, which is so much space, if you ask me. That's a lot. A place of wild weather, it experiences frequent flooding in the wet season and utter drought in the dry season.
Oh, dear.
The ecosystem found in the Everglades is one of a kind. It's basically not found anywhere else on Earth. Which is also why it terrifies
me. That's cool.
Because it's very special. I know. That's also why I want to go to there. Mm. You know, it's a catch-22. I'm scared, but I like it. Which is most things. And me. The area has been home to indigenous peoples since forever. Like most places. Mm-hmm. People since like the Calusa, the Tequesta, and the Seminole, among others. As well as communities of free black folks prior to its U.S. annexation in the 1820s. Which I think is important to say. Because a lot of people don't. You know, recognize that history of Florida. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do. We do here on this podcast. The first publicly written description of the Everglades reads, and I quote, "No country that I have ever heard of bears any resemblance to it. It seems like a vast sea filled with grass and green trees. And expressly intended as a retreat for the," and this isn't my wording, "rascally Indian, from which the white man would never seek to drive them." So they're basically saying,
I would love for someone to describe me as rascally, so I'm taking that as a good thing.
Oh, I honestly love I like it. Sign me up. I think that's really fun.
Rascally rascals.
Just a couple of rascals. Yeah, it so basically, wonderful. It sounds amazing. It's just a bunch of, you know, indigenous folks, and it's wild in nature. Sign me up. And that was from, like, the 1700s, was that description of what the Everglades were.
Yeah.
A wild environment, a land that has always inspired both wonder and hatred with its waterways filled of alligators, snakes, and other kooky creatures. Ooh. It's not a place for the faint of heart. And I mean, such a weird place surely must be haunted, right? Absolutely.
Carly, surprise, surprise. Ghost gators?
I didn't know about ghost gators, but I mean, I wouldn't put it past it. The Everglades is a mysterious place. One of the reasons the Everglades is considered haunted is because of an incident that occurred in 1972.
Oh, okay.
Do you think back to it? Do you remember it? Good year.
Yeah, it was a good year.
Yeah, good year.
Something happened, I'm sure. I remember. I was there.
Good year, but something dastardly happened, I'm about to describe
it. That's not that long ago for, like, a ghost story. 72?
I know. 1972? Okay. I know. I've been trying to find those contemporary ghost stories sometimes.
Recent ghosts.
They're not all the olden days. Some, I mean, the 70s are the olden days, but not really in that same olden day
not
way.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, this is the 1970s, not the 1870s.
No, 1972, that's like a real year.
It's like a real year. My parents were alive.
Yeah, mine were too.
Oh my, it's a real year. Yeah. It's not like one of those fake years, like 1387.
No,
like,
it's a real year.
It's a real year that we know people who were alive then.
2022, it's not a fake year like that.
Yeah, it's not like a fake year like 2022, for sure. On December 29th, 1972, a huge wide-body aircraft took off from New York's JFK and was en route to Miami. Only problem? It would never arrive.
Oh, no.
This flight was Eastern Airlines Flight 401.
Oh. Okay.
It was a routine red-eye flight, at least in the beginning. The craft carried 163 passengers and 13 crew members on board. And because we're doing air travel, I'm going to do, you know, the classic 24-hour clock. So get ready for some good, interesting time.
This is also, like, not a long flight. Like, what is that, like a two-hour flight from New York to Miami?
Yeah, it's not far. It's New York to Miami. It's not coast to coast, so it's East Coast.
But that's definitely something that, like, you would be like, eh, whatever, like, routine flight. Nothing bad's going to happen to me.
It's super casual. Well, like, flying from, say, Toronto to New York is about an hour. And flying from Florida is about 2.5, maybe, or a little less.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not far at all. So, truly routine in every sense of the word. Like,
people be going from New York to Miami all the time.
It's normal. It's not anything weird.
Yeah.
But at 23:32, the plane began its approach to Miami International Airport. But after lowering the landing gear. I didn't write landing in my sentence there. I was like,
Lowering the gear.
I literally wrote. That's not correct. But after lowering the landing gear, the first officer noticed there was a problem with the landing gear indicator. The green light didn't go on as it should, you know, to indicate, oh, yes, the landing gear is locked in place and you're good to go. So they soon figured out it was a burnt out bulb, but not before they asked air traffic control to enter a holding pattern while they figured it out. Mm-hmm. So they were like, something's weird. Please let us go into a holding pattern. Air traffic control was like, sure. And they're trying to figure out why this light isn't going on. Where was this holding pattern, you may ask? It was over the Everglades, of course. So the crew worked to ensure the landing gear was down. That was the whole thing. They were like, we're on our descent. We want to make sure that we can, you know, land safely.
Because the Everglades are just, like, south of Miami. They're not that far.
Yeah, they're not that far.
Yeah, especially if you're on an airplane.
Yeah, also Florida's not huge, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida's pretty, like, long, but also...
It's long. It's the panhandle. You know, you're picking it up from the stove.
It's a panhandle.
It's a panhandle, but it's not the pan. You know what I'm saying? So...
You know what?
It's not the I've as big as could be.
I've never realized that it's the panhandle because it looks like a pan and that's its handle.
So. You didn't? You never thought of that?
Nope. I was like, yeah, well, it's a panhandle.
I'm here to help you learn because I'm so smart. I'm so smart. I love to share my knowledge. So
I love to learn.
Welcome to Carly's Knowledge Corner, where
Carly's
I teach
geography
you
geography corner.
That's right. Carly's geography corner, where she can teach you all about land masses and what they do and how they are and how they get their names, especially. Florida. Panhandle looks like the part of a pan you hold and it's a handle. There you go. So they're over this panhandle. They're over the Everglades, specifically at the bottom of it. You know, the part that I just described with the snakes and the alligators and the swamps and the weird hot and the weird cold and the weird wet and the weird dry.
And the rascally folks.
So once they reached their assigned altitude in this holding pattern, the captain had the first officer place them on autopilot so they could sort out the landing gear, because that was the whole point of going into this holding pattern, was so they could figure out what's going on. So they're like, put on autopilot, it'll do its thing, and we'll be able to do our thing.
Yeah.
What they didn't know is they weren't in autopilot. Something went wrong there.
Oh, no.
The plane...
Gotta make sure you're in autopilot.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. The plane, within less than 3 minutes, was at half its assigned altitude, and the crew had no clue.
Oh, no.
It was then. What? Yeah, what?
Just, I'm thinking of, there's this TV show that is all about, like, plane crashes.
Yes.
And my dad watches it all the time.
That's amazing.
It's, like, literally the same thing. It's just, like, we're a plane and something's gone wrong and we're gonna fucking crash. But I'm just remembering that, like, I went, like, before I went to Europe. I was, like, at my parents' house, like, maybe 2 days before I was gonna get on a like
a flight,
intercontinental over the ocean flight, and my dad is watching this fucking plane crash show. And I'm like,
oh my god,
Dad.
Hey, Dad, read the room, Dad. He's like, what? I'm not embarking on an international.
What do you mean you're going on a... You mean you're flying to Europe tomorrow? Why is that so funny?
That's so funny that your dad watches those shows, because I got this story idea from my dad, who's been watching a lot of... There's a series, I think, called, like, National Parks, like, Legends and Stories of the National Parks, the U.S. National Parks. Mm-hmm. And my dad made me watch... He keeps making me watch it. He's watched the series probably through three times, because every time he just has it on, he goes, Carly, come here. And so I do things like, instead of editing our podcast on time, my dad's forcing me to watch it. So the episode of the Everglades, this was featured heavily in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty funny. Our dads are the same.
You should tell your dad about this plane crash show. It's
Our dads should hang out and just watch plane crash shows. They would love that show. Well, back to our story of our plane crash. Speaking of, spoiler alert, I mean, I made it pretty clear from the beginning, but it was then after they had dropped to their half altitude without noticing that they did another 180 turn, because again, they're in a holding pattern, so they're just going in a circle. That's what that means, in case folks don't know.
But if they're not on autopilot, what's the plane doing?
Well, it's slowly dropping. And so they do another 180 turn, and the first officer noticed something's wrong. He said,
it's like steering in a holding pattern in circles, but it's not staying in the air.
So I think that there's more to it than that. I don't think it's like a Tesla auto driving. Like, it's similar to Tesla auto driving, then like it drives itself fully, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it can like stay in its, you know, at its altitude without changing altitude. But I think you still have to pay attention to, like, you know, where it's heading.
Apparently, I don't think you can
just be like, well, they were paying attention to where it was heading, but they weren't paying attention to where they were up and down.
Yeah,
they were paying attention, like, side to side.
They're like, no, it's chill. We're definitely still in the air where we need to be.
Because, when they did the 180 turn, the first officer turned to the captain and he said, we did something to the altitude. And the captain said, what? And the first officer said, we're still at 2,000 feet, right? And the captain said, hey, what's happening here? Less than 10 seconds later, the jetliner crashed.
No.
I know. Hey, what's happening here? I'm going to give you some sad stats in a second. Go ahead.
It's also freaky with plane crashes because they have, like, the black box or whatever. So you can, like, hear and, like, know what happened.
Yep. How do you think I know what those last words were?
Like, 10 seconds before, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like,
hey, literally, we're still at 2,000 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's happening here?
Carly, did you watch Yellow Jackets?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Okay.
Plane crash, go watch it.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. No, I was too busy watching The After Party. It's very funny so far.
Okay.
Would recommend. We can talk about it at the end. Yeah, so we're laughing, but it's awful, obviously. No. Like, everything.
No, it's freaky because you're like,
horrible. We're laughing because it's wildly uncomfortable. Yeah, so 101 people died, including all three cockpit crew members and 2 out of the 10 flight attendants. At the time of this disaster, it was the worst airplane disaster in U.S. history, with only 75 survivors.
Oof. Yikes.
Because it was one of those mega jets. It was, like, one of the first double-aisle planes.
Yeah, the, like, big boys.
The big, big, beefy boys.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the first time one of those crashed as well. Like, it was like, wait, what? These, like,
huge... Oh, yeah, 72, yeah.
Yeah, 72. It was such a remote crash site that it was difficult to get two survivors for a very long time, like for hours.
Did they crash like into a swamp or like
into the Everglades? Yeah, like smack dab. They're like, bam, right onto a gator. And
yeah, how many gators
folks
were killed?
Yeah, how many gators? They didn't count for gators, so that's my first red flag. But
yeah.
The first folks on the scene were Bud Marquis and Ray Dickinson, two airboat pilots who were out, and this is a phrase I just learned this week, frog gigging.
Ooh, what's that?
They're out frog gigging. They're just hunting frogs with like a spear and whatever.
Frog gigging.
They're frog gigging.
Frog gigging.
I'm not frog gigging.
I'm frog gigging. You're what?
You know me, frog gigging.
I love to frog gigging.
Yeah. So, yeah, writing this, like, heavy story down, reading the words frogging, I laughed for about 5 minutes.
You're like, it was the most terriblest plane crash ever. And by the way, there were some dudes frogging.
And like, by the way, some guys came by because they were frogging. Okay, and I was like, oh, God.
Cool.
The flight attendants kept up morale of the survivors by singing Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the flight attendants saved even more lives by insisting no one light a match with so much literal jet fuel around.
Yeah,
because again, it's the 70s, right?
Yeah, everyone's like, I gotta smoke my thing.
Yeah, you can smoke on planes.
Yeah.
And they're like, nobody light a match. Like, nobody, don't do that right now.
Mark.
They were literally covered in jet fuel. So thank goodness for that. The swamp, while its mud may have prevented some of the folks from bleeding to death from their injuries, which is wild. The swamp giveth.
Yeah.
But the swamp also taketh because it also caused infection in some because of the organisms that live within it. So like wild. Of the survivors, Cecilia, 60 had serious injuries. And 17 had minor injuries, not needing hospitalization. So
everyone
like,
was injured.
Everyone was unwell. So, yeah. Like, you might hear 75 survivors and be like, oh, good. They walked away and were like, hunky-dory. Absolutely fucking not.
No, they just got in a plane crash.
Yes, literally. And so you might be thinking, well, sounds like the crew didn't know how to fly planes. Like, what the heck? You know, what happened? Well, they did know how to fly planes. Captain was Robert Albin, Bob Loft, who is aged 55, and he was a veteran pilot at 50th seniority at Eastern. He had been there for 32 years, Cecilia. And the first officer, Albert John Burt Stockstill, was 39 with nearly 6,000 hours, flying hours.
Wait, did he you was say his former name was Albert John Burt?
Albert John Burt is what they called him.
Oh,
Stock
okay.
Still. Albert John Burt. No, I wish. That's really funny. No. His nickname was like Burt.
Okay.
Just like how Albert Robert John Albin Loft Burt. Is everyone called him Bob, right?
Mm.
So, and he was former Air Force. He had 6,000 hours, flight hours, and he was former Air Force.
Yeah.
And the flight engineer, Donald Louis Repo, we call him Don, was 51 with nearly 16,000 hours of flying. So
it's a lot of flying.
Between all these men, these three, you know, cockpit men, these three guys running the show, you would think that you'd be in safe hands. But, you know, sometimes things just happen, which is awful. And Celia, it was truly just a horrible accident. Worst of all, at the crash site, the landing gear was found to be down exactly as it should have been.
Yeah.
Meaning.
So it was literally just a burnt out bulb and that was the only problem.
Meaning it all happened because of a burnt out light bulb.
Yeah.
And for basically nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
horrible. Horrible. Soon after the crash, stories began to circulate that passengers and crew on other Eastern flights would be visited by some of those who had died in Flight 401's crash.
Okay.
Oh, you think I'd tell you this horrible story and not give you some ghosts?
Of course.
Nope. Ghosts gotta tell you the ghosts. They're everywhere. At JFK, a boarding crew witnessed Captain Loft sitting in the flight deck in his uniform. They talked to him for a few minutes, not realizing who he was, before he apparently disappeared right in front of their eyes.
Oh, shit.
The crew was so shook that they had to cancel their flight.
Yep.
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
In another instance, a flight engineer saw flight engineer Don Repo. I'm going to say Repo. Sure. Flight engineer Don Repo in his seat and said to him he had already done the pre-flight checks and then he vanished.
Oh.
He's just working. He's just sitting in this other guy's seat. Whoa. He's like, I've done the pre-flights. Don't worry about it.
I had a lot of hours. Might as well just keep on going.
Might as well keep going. During a flight from Atlanta to Miami, a crew member heard knocking coming from the avionics hold and opened it to see none other than, once again, Don Repo looking back out at them. Scariest of all, and this is the one that was featured in the show that my dad made me watch, which I loved. Scariest of all, on a trip from Mexico City to JFK, a flight attendant saw Don's face in a microwave looking out at her, telling her to beware of fire.
Okay.
And in the version from the TV show is she didn't know who he was at first, but then one of the other crew members recognized who he was.
One of the other crew members looked in the microwave and he's still there.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
This guy's just hanging on the microwave saying, watch out for fire. And apparently, Celia, as the plane climbed, the engine caught fire and the pilot was forced to make an emergency landing at the airport and no one was hurt.
Wow.
So it's wild.
He's looking out for the other planes. He's keeping them safe. But these people are not going to.
Right? Apparently, more than 20 incidences were reported, and it had become such a thing to see, you know, just the ghosts of Flight 401, that in 1973, a report was published the next year. Yeah, it had become such a thing to see all this throughout 1973.
Oh, that this a report was published. Year?
This is all in 1 year. 20 reports in 1 year.
Jesus.
And the next year, in the U.S. Flight Safety Foundation newsletter, they published a report on it because there were so many people being like, you know, damn. Flight 401, so many ghosts.
In the, official flight journal. Yes. They're like, oh, you guys hear about these ghosts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who was not about it, though? Eastern Airlines.
Of course.
And the airline shut it all down. They were like, no one talks about ghosts anymore. There
are no ghosts.
No. There are no ghosts. And some people think maybe they did this because there were stories that had been circulating that the airline had tried to salvage as much of the craft as possible because it was a full loss. It was the first full loss of a craft of that kind, too.
Yeah.
And so they apparently tried to pull as much out of the swamp as they could and refitted it as parts in other aircrafts of the same sort.
Okay.
And it was reported that the flights where folks experienced the paranormal, you know, activity are flights that had, you know, had pieces of the original, little bits of that original airplane. But Eastern was like, no, that never happened. And Eastern's management eventually warned employees that they could be terminated if caught spreading ghost stories. So, Celia, you and I would not have done well at Eastern Airlines.
No.
They would have fired our asses. Yes. They would have been like, these girls are out of here.
Oh, my God. Relax. Stop talking about the ghosts.
But someone who did say they believed in the sightings was Don Repo's son, Jay. So Jay said that apparently on his wedding night, he inexplicably found a pair of Eastern Airline wings in his Miami hotel room, just on the floor in the closet. And wings being like, you know, like little pilot wings, like little plastic.
Oh,
like,
I heard wings.
That's what I mean. Oh, wigs. Oh, no, he's not a, no drag queens, no wigs.
Okay, he had a toupee.
Sure, it's dad. Fine. Dad's hair. Okay.
Wings,
like pilot wings.
Yeah, like a little pin.
Yeah, yes. And he took that as a sign from his dad. That's nice. Yeah, there was no other reason why that would have been there or should have been there. And apparently, sightings stopped around 1974, which is also the time where they supposedly and were rumored to have removed all the salvaged parts from all planes and
because
put them
of
in
the
storage.
Mm.
And apparently, the warehouse where the parts were stored wasn't air conditioned, but walking past these parts, you felt ice cold.
Ooh.
Apparently, they're no longer there, though an original floorboard from Flight 401 is in the archives at the History Miami in South Florida. and other pieces of wreckage can be found in Ed and Lorraine Warren's occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut. Did you know there's an occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut? I didn't know
it was in Monroe, Connecticut, but I knew that Ed and Lorraine Warren had an occult museum.
I did not know it was in Connecticut, though. I never put that two and two together, and I did not know.
That makes sense.
That Connecticut was interesting. Sorry, Connecticut.
We could go there.
I don't mean to be that girl, but we might come to you now, Connecticut. Yeah. Thank you for your gift.
We could go to Salem, and then we could go to Connecticut.
Oh my God! And then New York. Hit all the hot spots.
We can go look at the airplane floor.
Honestly, we should, and we will. We could also go to Miami and look at it. So maybe we'll go to Miami.
I would love to go to Miami.
I've been dying to go to Miami, so, but not on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. Carly, I have bad news for you.
What?
The Warren's Occult Museum is permanently closed.
No! COVID has taken another from us!
Because Lorraine Warren died in 2019.
That's right. That's right.
The museum closed.
I remember us being like, we don't know what's going to happen to it. And then now it's closed. Gone. Yep. I don't remember it being in Connecticut, though. That's interesting.
No.
Whoa. Well, I guess we have to go to Miami then.
We don't have to go to Connecticut anymore.
Guess we're going to Miami. Sorry, Connecticut. Connecticut lost its one cool thing.
Don't be mad, Connecticut. Tell us something cool for us to go to, and we'll come.
Yeah, if you have something cool, let us know, and we will come to there.
Yeah.
But we were really excited about it. So, only old stories, right? Wrong. I came across this article in Men's Variety by freelance writer Chris Farmer. By the way, I got a lot of my information today from mensvariety.com, Wikipedia, and medium.com.
Ooh, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia and medium.com. So okay. Chris Farmer, who mostly writes, and I looked at his bio, he mostly writes on men's health, breaking news, business, entertainment, and tech.
Yeah,
not ghosts. I want to highlight that. He's not, he doesn't say ghost guy in his bio. Big ghost guy. He doesn't say that. So, you know, that to me is interesting. But he shares a story from 2019 of a flight he took from Chicago to Miami.
Okay.
It was a haunted flight.
Chicago only way to describe to Miami. It. Okay.
Chicago to Miami. He was flying on a red eye. Mostly empty Boeing 737. He was alone in his row in a window seat, and across the aisle from him was an old woman reading a book in her own window seat.
Sure.
Chris, I mean, it's nighttime, closed his eyes for a moment. It was 5 a.m. after all. And he had been staring. He's also on an airplane, and he had been staring at the flight map on the screen on the back of the seat in front of him, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
And he noticed right before he closed his eyes that they were entering the Everglades. At some point he felt the presence of someone next to him, you know, like how when your eyes are closed but you can still, you're like, oh, someone's suddenly, you know, next to me. That happened to him. So then he opened his eyes to find someone sitting in the aisle seat all of a sudden on his like row of three seats. He said hello, and the person was a man in his late 40s, early 50s, and he wore a uniform with a pilot's insignia.
Okay.
And he also wore a captain's hat, and that captain's hat read, Eastern Airlines. The man leaned over to look out the window. This Eastern Airlines hatted man looked out the window, and Chris saw as he was leaning on his ID badge that his name was Robert Loft.
Okay.
So Chris decided to follow his lead. And, you know, when you see someone like looking out the window, you're like, oh, is there someone to see? He also like turned and looked out the window. But all he could see out his window was full darkness, which is, I mean, no surprise. They're over the Everglades. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, lights there. It's a swamp. He turned back to his new companion and he was gone. So Chris got up to see where he went, but instead saw another pilot sitting where the old reading lady had been. This pilot, too, had an Eastern Airlines hat. At this point, Chris was at the man's seat, and the man looked up at him and he said, hi, I'm Don. Are you looking for something? Chris got embarrassed and said no and sat back down. And once he sat back down and buckled himself in, he looked over and the pilot was gone and the woman was back reading her book.
What the heck?
The weirdest, besides them being ghosts, Cecilia, Eastern Airlines no longer exists. It went defunct in 1991.
Wow.
So it's not as if, you know, another, like, bunch of crew could be, you know, riding the airplane and moving about and being weird. Eastern Airlines truly does not exist.
There hasn't been an Eastern Airlines here since 1991. 25 years.
In literally, like, 29 years.
Oh, my God.
No, 31 years.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's Eastern Airline Flight 401. And a touch at what makes the Everglades haunted as hell.
Just a touch.
Just a touch. There's so many Everglades stories.
Oh, my
Thanks
God,
to
I can
my
imagine.
Dad. Who made me watch that episode? No one go watch it. I might do some more from it.
No one watch it. Was it all about ghosts or was it just about the National Park?
It was about legends and supernatural things. There was, of course, my dad's favorite. There's aliens and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, those swamp
aliens. Lots
of,
like, legends. You know, classic swamp aliens. I mean, in the Everglades, there was less alien, more just ghosts and things and murder, most foul, but...
Oh, dear.
But yeah, some of the other national parks have a lot of ghosts and otherworldly, inexplicable things, and it's pretty cool.
Spooky, scary.
Spooky, scary.
You know what's scarier than ghosts?
What, Cecilia?
Plane crashes.
Oh, plane crashes, yeah. It really had it all, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not someone who gets scared on planes, but, like, just thinking about them, I'm like, oh, that'd be real bad.
Yeah, I fly really well. Flying is easy for me. I'm lucky that way, too.
Yeah.
There's only been one time in my life before I've flown somewhere that I've been actually concerned and convinced that we were not going to go well. Yeah. And it was when I was in grade 12 and we were going to Haiti as, like, a school trip thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, we are going to die. If we get on that plane, we're going to die. I was
you
convinced.
Just decided.
Well, I think it was because it was 5 a.m. and I was watching Reese Witherspoon in Just Like Heaven and she was dead. And I was like, I'm going to die and no one's going to be able to see me, but I'm going to be stuck here. I was like, I'm
going to be just like Reese Witherspoon.
Plane, if I get on, I was convinced. I was like, if I get on this plane, I'm going to be Reese Witherspoon. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle that. And I told my mom. My mom was like, "Get out, you're fine." And she made me go. And it was fun and it was good. And I liked it. So.
Yeah.
Haiti's a beautiful place with beautiful people, so.
Yeah, I've, like, never been freaked out, like, other people I know are, like, afraid of flights, but I'm just like, whatever. But then, like, I, like, think about it, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, when you're not flying.
I hate it, because so many of the stories that you see on, like, the fucking plane crash TV show, it's like one, well, like that story that you just said, like it's just like a bulb blown out and like
something
it's such
random
high stakes that like something tiny like that can happen and 100 people die,
right? It's really wild when you think about it. It's like, oh yeah, it is pretty wild to think like anything can happen.
Yeah.
And also it's worse if anything happens and you're on a plane, like that's terrible.
Stressful.
But I do, we're not meaning to scare anyone from flying.
No,
we fly
it's
all the time and we've been fine every time and
most
we'll continue to be fine.
Most of the time, planes don't crash.
Yeah. Yeah, truthfully, like the statistics of it is very low, but also when it does happen, it's wild to hear about. And that's what people like to
When it does happen,
like
it's really freaky.
Yeah.
Like you're, like, there's so many more things that you're more likely to die from crash. Like
fall down on the sidewalk is more likely than like
like me walking home from work today I almost died like 4 times.
It's icy out there, we live in Canada, it's cold.
I'm gonna die like trying to cross College Street or trying to walk when it's icy outside, like
it's legit concern.
It's dangerous out there, be careful, but also whatevs.
Be as careful as you can, but also, like, have fun.
Like,
we're your
the
big
way
sisters
that I look
here to tell you, it's fine, but you're good.
The way that I look at it is, one time, I left work, like, late, because I work at a restaurant, and my manager was like, oh, where are you going? And I, like, told her the train station, the bus station, the subway station that I was, like, getting off at. And she's like, oh, shit, like, be careful, like, text me when you get home, like, people have got stabbed there before. And I was like,
oh,
well, I've never got stabbed there before.
You're like, yeah, but I have not, so I shall be fine.
Oh my god, that's a good way to look at it.
That was, like, the other day in Hamilton, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 neighborhoods away, someone just randomly was stabbed. Yeah. My parents were like, did you hear? Someone was stabbed. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but also people get stabbed every day. That's horrible. Yeah, but also, like, none of us are stabbed. Like, I had that same thought.
That's the way that I look at, like, true crime and stuff is, like, people get so freaked out and, like, so cautious and, like, will be so cautious and, like, scared to live their lives because of these, like, stories. But I feel like they're such, like, they're so rare that things like that happen that I'm like, yeah, be cautious and, like, don't be stupid, but also don't be afraid for your life all the time, because, like, lots of people get stabbed, but, like, I don't know, I've never been stabbed yet. Right? I'm good.
Same. I'm okay. I think
I've been lots of lanes. I've never been in a plane crash.
Right? I think that's pretty funny. There are, like, I think 2 groups of people with things like plane crashes and things like
absolutely.
True crime and all this. Where, like, there's the people like you and I who ingest it, take it in, you know, seek out the stories, want to hear about it, want to know about it, and are a little more empowered because of it. And then there are people who don't want to hear it at all or hear it and it scares them.
Yeah.
I think it does the opposite for you and I, only because we're like, well, that's a terrible thing. Let's bear witness to it, and then let's you know, find ways to make that not happen.
Or but there are very also, much also the people who hear a lot of those stories and seek out those stories so that they can, like, do everything in their power for that not to happen to them. And, like,
yeah, I guess that's true.
That's not a way to live. That's exhausting. No, like, I was listening to a podcast about true crime where someone was talking who had something like that happen to her. Like, she was, like, attacked in a park, and it was just, like, this, like, freak thing, and it would have happened no matter how careful she was. So she looks at it as, like, you can't live your life totally afraid, because, like, if shit's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
obviously, like, lock your door and, like, be careful, but, like,
do your best, but don't make
live
it,
in a way that, like, you're constantly in fear and, like, not, like, like, obviously be smart, but also be nice to people, and, like, you can talk to strangers, just, like, don't be stupid when you talk to strangers.
Don't be weird. Yeah. And make it a bad thing. Yeah. I also understand that too. I think, like, it's just so interesting how people engage with stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else I was gonna say. But yeah. Nope. My brain's done now. I think we said it all. Yeah.
We've said it all.
It's weird. It's weird, yo.
Because I've definitely rethought how I think about true crime, especially lately. I feel like I've been, like, sort of thinking about it in a different way instead of just, like, blindly just taking it in.
Yeah.
Because some parts of it I'm like, yeah, it's not as great as you think it is. Or, like, yeah. Sometimes people don't take away the right things from it.
Yeah, that's true. I think that is, it's hard to, for some folks to maybe take away good things in when they hear a lot of bad, but I think you and I are pretty good at, seeing the good and the light in things, even if there's not light or good to be had, but also not being, like, naively blind to that. Like, I think, like, we're good. Balancing, I think we're good. But we have a lot of Libra in our chart, and I think we're really good at balancing.
But yeah, it's just something to think about. I don't know how we got on this, but yeah, it's an episode of You're Me Wrong either. About true crime. Yeah. So just listen to You're Wrong About, because I really like it, and they're smart, and also they did an episode about true crime that made me think about true crime in a different way that I had already sort of been, like, considering. So
that's really cool.
I don't know how I got on this. Do you want me to tell you about ghosts?
I would love to hear you tell me about ghosts. I did my part. Let me sit back and enjoy.
Ooh, well, I was on the old interwebs, and for a past story, I was on a website that we like, which is, like, Legends of America.
And we get a lot of stories. Ooh, we do like that.
So I clicked a random article about the red ghost of the American Southwest.
Come on.
So I started reading about this and I'm like, okay.
What in the world?
Not really a ghost, but it's called a ghost and it's sort of a ghost. So we're going to talk about it. So okay. I got all my information from Legends of America, from American Heritage, from a Smithsonian Magazine article by Chris Heller, and a National Geographic article by Kevin Waite. So
raise your hand if you're surprised that Celia's doing another story from the Southwest. oh, look, no one raised their hand.
Oh, no, this is too on brand. It's from the American Southwest, and there's not, potentially there's not a ghost really in it.
Probably a ghost.
Oh, I love no.
it. Sign okay, us up.
No one's surprised. So when we're going to talk about this red ghost, we're going to have to talk about camels.
Expecting that. Okay, I'm ready. You could have said anything else, and I would have been expecting that more than you saying the word camels to me right now.
Because when you think about the American Southwest, this is not the first thing you think of? Camels?
I'm sorry. Did you need to go there more?
Didn't you have camels on your mind already?
You know what? If I'm being honest, I often have camels on my mind. So.
Carly, did you know? And I did not know this before I clicked on this article. There were camels in America.
I did know that because I always have camels on my mind. So, right now.
Obviously, way, 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 way back, there were camels and they like migrated elsewhere, like probably in like Pangea times, like, or like when the continents were together more.
When we were one.
Some of them, like, started out in the Americas and, like, left. So, like, in more recent years, as in the last, like, thousands of years, there haven't been camels, like, native camels.
Right. We haven't had camels for a long time.
No, there haven't been camels. But, they're, like, so there aren't native camels in the American Southwest. Yes. They're native to, like, desert regions of Africa and Asia. They've been there a long time. They've been domesticated there as livestock, as means of transportation for passengers and cargo, especially...
Your friend Jesus.
My friend Jesus. Camels. Yeah. I'm a big Jesus fan. Jesus, big camel fan.
You're big Jesus guy. Jesus, big camel guy.
Big camel guy. So they're really well-suited to these desert areas because they grew up there.
That's how they live. They like it there.
They live there. They love there. They thrive there.
They laugh there, too.
They live there. They laugh there. Camels live, laugh, love all over the desert.
They live, laugh, love all over the desert.
So, naturally, when American settlers started to expand into the Southwest and into these desert landscapes, somebody thought about camels. And they were like, what if we bring camels over and see if they're well suited to American deserts?
Right.
We could use them. So in 1848, Henry Wayne, who was a quartermaster major, don't know what that is, but sounds important.
That's a great job. Wow.
He's the quartermaster major, and he suggested to the War Department that the American military try out some camels. They should recruit some camels and see how they do. So, Secretary of War and Mississippi Senator Jefferson Davis, he's someone important, he agreed, and in 1854, Senate approved a bill to appropriate $30,000 to bring camels to America.
Okay.
It was thought that they could carry twice the weight of horses or mules, and that they could travel without as much water or rust as horses.
Oh.
And at this point, the railway wasn't built, so long distance travel's tricky. So they're
that's
like,
"That's right, it's the 40s.
It's the now it's the 1850s, but like
it's the 50s.
You don't got a railway yet. Might as well try something a little bit better than horses, because you know horses get tired.
Horses eat a lot of carrots and oats.
Horses eat so many carrots
and so many sugar cubes if they're good.
You think camels like carrots?
I would love to feed a camel a carrot. I can't tell you how much I would love to feed a camel a carrot.
Someone, if you have a camel, please let us feed it a carrot.
If you have a carrot-eating camel, please let us.
Send us a video.
Oh! We would die.
We would die.
We would die. There's nothing else. That's all. That's how much we care for camels. We could die the happiest girls in the world.
I feel like camels are kind of scary.
They got big teeth.
They're like really large. Yeah. And they spit. I'm not sure if I'm a big camel guy.
You don't think Jesus is a big camel guy and you're a big Jesus guy?
I don't know. So I'm sure like
how that works, that you would be a big camel guy.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never met a camel, so maybe if I met a camel, we'd get along.
You've
but
never
seem...
met a camel?
I don't know. When would I meet a camel?
Have I met a camel? I feel like I've met a camel.
Like, I'm sure I've seen camels at the zoo, but, like, I haven't been and personal with a camel.
Yeah, I don't think I've pet a camel or anything.
Like, I've seen camels, but I don't know if I've met one, you know?
Yeah, there's a difference between seeing someone and meeting someone. Yeah. So that's true.
I don't think
that's
met one. I've seen them from afar and been like, that's cool.
There's a camel.
That's a camel.
I feel like I have this thought in my head that maybe I've ridden one as a child. But how could I have done that? Have I? I don't know that I have.
When would you have
I definitely rode an elephant, which is horrible for elephants.
Yeah, that's not good. Where did you ride an elephant?
It was at the zoo. The Buffalo Zoo, I think.
Buffalo Zoo.
In the 90s.
Buffalo Zoo.
The 90s. It was a different time.
It was a Wild West out there at the Buffalo Zoo.
The Buffalo Zoo, they were out here slinging at elephants, letting you ride them.
We're not talking about buffaloes. We're talking about camels.
Yay.
So, in 1957, 72 camels arrived in America, and they were put to work carrying supplies for the army in the Southwest. So, pretty good. They were well-suited for the Southwestern landscapes, but the soldiers were not really fans of them, partly because the soldiers were racist against camels. And they're like, these foreign creatures,
Yeah, they were like, we want American horses.
They
good
also,
American horses.
Which is also a very American thing. They were like, let's hire some, like, people to take care of the camels and to teach the American soldiers how to take care of the camels and, like, deal with the camels. So they're like, okay, here's some guys from... the like I don't know where they're from, but they hired 6 Arab guys and 1 Turkish guy as like camel caregivers and like teachers.
They're the camel guys.
But they didn't pick people who like had experience with camels or knew.
Did they just picked
no,
some
they
Arab
were
guys
like,
and a Turkish
they're
guy?
They're like, these guys are from a place where there's camels, so they must know how to deal with camels.
No.
But
That's like picking you and me to take care of a polar bear.
That's like picking like you and me to take care of like horses or something. It's like
I've been to horse camp. I could take care of a horse.
I met a horse once. I don't know how to take care of horses. I don't know how to train a fucking horse.
You feed it and you pet it and you make sure that it gets rehooved, gets new shoes a lot. Because their hooves grow. Do you know that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't know how to do that. That's like hiring me to take care of horses. Like, they're just like, these guys, they're from the desert. They've been around camels. They know how to deal with camels. So, that's the first problem.
Well, it's like hiring me to take care of a bald eagle. I'm like, dinosaur, I love it, but I don't know how to take care of it.
Right? Yeah. Like, so they didn't know what they were doing. And then, obviously, these American soldiers didn't know what they were doing. So, they didn't know what to do with the camels. The camels also, there's, like, these army troops would have camels and horses who had never met camels before are also, like, freaked out by them. So, the horses are freaking out.
Oh, no, not the horses.
The camels also tended to wander away in the middle of the night.
They're just doing their thing. They're just being camels. Can't get mad at them. They're just being camels.
And
did they not tie them up? Did they just like?
I don't know. I read that. I'm like, what, did they like get loose or did they not tie them up? They also, which is like
free camel.
Awful is like the idea that camels store water in their hump is not a thing. Like, that's not
true. It's not correct.
It's like they have fat in their humps, and because they're well equipped for the desert. They don't have to drink water as frequently as horses, but they still need to drink water.
They need water to and be alive.
American soldiers who had never dealt with camels before are like, oh, they have water in their humps. We don't need to give them water. So these camels were like dying because feeding them water. So this is not, it's bad. So the army doesn't like the camels. I bet they didn't even get one carrot. They're not even giving them carrots. So they're already having a problem with these camels. And then also, the mule lobby.
Stop. Stop right now. What do you mean the mule lobby?
I'm picturing it as a lobby of mules.
And these picturing it as, yeah, a hotel lobby filled top to tail with mules.
I was just thinking like a club, like a mule club. And they're like pissed because they're like, these camels, these foreigners are taking our jobs.
They're just a bunch of mules at a table reading papers and smoking cigars. And then one puts it down and says, they're taking our jobs.
So the mules are mad that the foreigners are taking their jobs. So the mules don't have as many jobs.
Stop. So, aw, they're just American mules.
The mule lobby is fighting against the camels. So there's all
blue-blooded American mules.
There's a lot of factors against the mules. The camels. So it wasn't going great. And then the Civil War started. Right. Texas seceded from the Union, and a lot of these camels were stationed at Cape Verde in Texas. So Confederate forces seized the camels. Many of them were sold. Some of them were put to use in Nevada mining towns or to other, like, businesses. Some were sold to butchers and to meat markets.
The camels.
Some went to Arizona to help construct the railroad. Some were bought by circuses or by zoos. And some of them were just, like, let loose in the desert.
They were like, be free, camel.
Be free, camels. So this is where the red ghost comes in. So there's,
oh, sign me up.
I'm not just talking to you about camels.
This is not just camel corner. This is like, has a real meaning.
This is me just being like, I read this thing about camels and I need to tell you.
I'm sorry. I just had to share my knowledge, my new knowledge of camels.
Just being really excited about finding this random fun fact and just being like, I have to share. Where else am I going to share this?
This is the only place to share it.
This is the part where I'm like, this actually has nothing to do with anything ghost related.
Yeah, you're like, surprise, there's not even anything. There's just camels.
It's just camels. These are just my fun facts. It's Camel Corner. No. So for years after the camel experiment was finished, people would obviously spot camels roaming the desert, especially in Arizona. There were camels. There weren't a lot of camels, but they were out there. Okay. So these sightings were uncommon enough that they would often make the news, and out of these sightings came a number of tales and legends, one of them being this red ghost.
Oh, yes! Yes! So,
in 1883, so this is like a good 20 years after camels.
Yeah, the Civil War. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is post-camels.
Yeah. So this is post-camels. Yeah, I'm never gonna say post-war anymore. Like, post-war, post-camels. I'm just gonna say post-camels. Post-camels. Yeah, so post-camels.
Post-camels.
That's when we are in America.
The camel reign in America was short and tragic.
Short but mighty. In the end.
This is everyone's fun fact that they can go and tell everybody. They can be like, did you know there was camels in America?
Oh my god.
Do you know the American army had camels at one point in America? God.
Yeah, okay. Unlike America, we're big camel guys.
Big camel guys. So, it's 1883. There's two women alone with their children in a small house on Eagle Creek in southeastern Arizona. The men are out. They're doing something.
They're being men.
They're roping some horses or wrangling some cattle.
Firing their guns into the air and going whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm sure the article told me what they were doing, but I said, I don't care. They're just gone. So at some point, one of the women went out to the spring a few yards from the house to fetch some water. Mm-hmm. It's 1883. They don't got one running water.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
It's Arizona in 1883.
Water. Yeah, rural.
Hard to come by. So, a few minutes after she had gone out, the dog began to bark, and the other woman who had stayed back at the house went to the window to see what it was barking at. So, she is super freaked out by what she sees, and she also, along with this, like, weird thing that she sees, hears her friend screaming.
Oh, no!
So, she is like, nah. She barricades the doors, and she waits for the men to come back. She's not going, like, to check on her friend. She's like,
friend is out there now at the end.
So they come back and find her hysterical praying. She had, like, been like this for probably hours. They came back later in the night.
Right,
and she tells them about this thing that she had seen, which was a enormous red beast. And it was being ridden by a demon.
No, it was not.
It was. And the men went out to investigate, and they found the body of the other woman who had been trampled to death.
Not trampled?
She was trampled.
Oh, my God.
So, like, trampled. Even if this lady had gone out to try and, like, find her friend, she would have been, like, dead. She was, like, flattened. She had been fucking trampled.
Pancake trampled.
So, on her body and on nearby bushes, they found clumps of long reddish hair.
Stop.
And in the mud, they found huge hoof prints that were cloven and twice the size of horses.
Ah! Oh, camel. Camel. Okay. Alright. Sorry. Yeah. Ah!
I mean, I did preface this with a bunch of camel shit.
The devil! The devil has cloven hooves!
It's the big beast ridden by the devil.
That's right.
I mean, that's what she looks at the window and she sees a fucking camel ridden by something.
She's like, the fuck?
She doesn't remember about the camel experiment. She's like, it's a demon.
She doesn't know. It's also red, which is interesting. It's red.
Well, I mean, the camels are reddish.
Camels are more like camel colored. That's where the name for the color comes from.
But this one's like a reddish color. Like, some camels are kind of reddish,
I guess. Yeah, like a ginger camel.
Yeah, it's a ginge.
Okay. Ginger camel.
So, a few days later, I love this story because it has, like, everybody you want out of the Southwest. So, we get two prospectors.
Stop!
And you know what the prospectors are doing?
Oh, what
they're
are they
looking
doing?
For gold.
No, gee willikers. They couldn't possibly.
I love a prospector. I want to be a prospector when I grow up.
Oh my gosh. I'll sign you up. Sign me Thank up you. Too. Let's go.
Let's go be prospectors. So they're doing their thing. They're looking for gold. And they're a few miles northeast of Eagle Creek, which is where this first sighting was seen. And they're asleep in their tent. And they were awakened by their tent just, like, crashing down around them with the sound of trampling hoofs and a loud scream.
No!
So when they get out from under the trampled tent, they, like, look around to see what's going on, and they see an impossibly tall red, what they think is a horse, and it's running away from them.
Okay.
Wow.
Impossibly
tall red horse.
Couldn't possibly be so tall, this horse.
So tall. And they later,
tallest horse in the land,
like, went and talked to some, like, miners or something, and they came back and inspected the area, and they found huge hoof prints along with red, long hair stuck to some of the bushes.
Stop! What is with all the hair getting stuck to the bushes?
It's trampling all over the place. Your hair's gonna get stuck.
It's just anywhere it could trample. It's trampling.
You know when you're trampling and your hair gets stuck in the bushes?
Classic. Classic problem.
Happens to us all.
Needs a hair tie.
So these stories started to go 1880s viral.
I mean, and, how could it not?
Everyone's telling everyone about this big red demon horse thing. So soon people are starting to tell their own, like, tall tales of this, what they call the red ghost.
Literally tall because it's a tall.
So tall these horse. Last two are, like, believable and, like, corroborated by a lot of other people. But one man claimed that he had tried to chase it down, but that it disappeared into thin air before he could. Another man claimed that he had seen the beast kill and eat a grizzly bear.
Ew! I didn't know they had grizzly bears down there. I guess that makes sense.
I mean, back then.
Also, in the desert?
This could have been, well, this might not have been in the desert, because, like, I don't think this one's true. I don't know about you.
Also, might just be a lie, Carly. Okay, okay.
I don't know about you, but I don't think camels can kill any grizzly bears.
Cecilia, it's a red devil. No one said it was a camel yet.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that that one's not true. Just going to use my just educated guess. I don't know about much about red devils or camels, but I'm going to guess that one's not true. So a little while after these stories had circulated, there was a rancher named Cyrus Hamblin.
Incredible name. Cyrus Hamblin. I love him.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. He was about 8 miles northwest of the original Red Ghost sighting.
Cyrus, give it to us.
Out looking for stray cattle, as one does.
Classic. I love cows.
He's looking for stray cattle. And he looks across a ravine, and he sees a huge reddish creature.
Whoa.
And this creature, it's far enough away for him to, like, investigate it safely, but not so far away that he couldn't, like, look at it and be like, oh, that's probably a camel, I think. I guess Cyrus knew about these camel stories.
Oh, Cyrus is so well-versed in the camel lore.
Is smart. He remembers. And he's like, you know what? I don't think there's many camels around here, but I've heard about there being camels. So he's like, this is definitely a camel. He knew it wasn't common for there to be camels, but he knew there were camels.
Right. He's like, it's possible.
What was odd about this camel and what kind of had been said in these other red ghost stories was that there seemed to be a man riding on its back. There's a man on the back, but the man was definitely not so alive. So there was a dead man strapped to this camel.
What in the literal fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my god. This so has Cyrus, taken a turn. Oh, the turntable.
Well, that's what there's a demon riding the camel. Maybe alive back then, but now he's definitely dead. So people generally saw Cyrus as trustworthy, so they believe his story, and soon the red ghost was the talk of the town. He's also called the Fantasia Colorado by the Spanish-speaking settlers, which is cool.
I like that.
So people were kind of doubtful that Cyrus had actually seen a man on the beast's back.
They were just like, Cyrus. Well,
camels have humps. It was probably just the hump.
Humps look a lot like men.
You know, humps look a lot like dead guys. It's pretty far away that he saw him. Like, it was across a ravine.
Sure. You're just seeing things, Cyrus.
But then something happened.
We believe you on the camel thing.
Made people believe him.
Stop. So
a few weeks after Cyrus spotted the red ghost, a group of prospectors. Spotted the animal about 60 miles west of Cyrus's ranch. They managed to get within shooting distance and, like good Americans, shot at it.
Of course they did.
So they missed. But as it ran off.
Like good Americans, they also missed.
Like good Americans. Incredible. They did not shoot it. But something fell from the camel's back as it's running off. You want to know what that thing was?
It was
a human skull.
What?
So this was like, it definitely was a human skull. It had bits of like skin and like hair and stuff still attached to it. But like confirmed there's a dead guy in this camel's back.
Confirmed dead man on camel.
Dead guy.
Confirmed Cyrus was right all along.
Confirmed Cyrus is a hero.
Confirmed, we want to marry Cyrus.
Confirmed, we're in love with Cyrus. Cyrus,
marry us. Confirmed, we're in love.
He's a rancher.
We're big Cyrus guys.
Big Cyrus guys. So obviously no one knows who this mysterious rider is on the camel's back, but were stories and speculation that started like going around. So one story. This is the only one that I was able to find, but it tells of a young soldier who was afraid of the camels and was having trouble learning to ride them. So his fellow soldiers being really rude Smart. And determined to yeah. teach him, like, strapped him to the back and, like, tied him onto the
no.
camel. And then they hit the beast on its rump and it took off. And, like, obviously, they can't catch the camel after the... And this guy doesn't know how to ride a camel.
No, this man doesn't know how to do camels and he's just stuck on there.
Yeah, so this guy's just, like, stuck to the camel and the camel runs away and they can't catch him and he just, like, runs off into the desert and that's the end of it. And he...
Oh, my God.
Dies on his back.
That man got cameled.
That man got cameled and then he died because he's just in the desert on a camel.
Because he's stuck in the desert on a camel.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd think that if you're tied to a camel, you could untie yourself, no?
No, he was tied on real good.
Oh, okay. Well, then, that, there you go.
He's also scared. Also, this might not be true.
You're more scared of a camel than dying in the desert? I'd be more scared dying in the desert.
Just I don't know this guy. It's also, like, it could have just been, like, a practical joke. Like, someone found this camel and was like, you know what would be funny? I got this camel and I got this dead guy. What if we tied the dead guy to the camel?
That, to me, sounds more plausible.
Yeah, but no one knows. I think
that, yeah, you can't know. You can't know.
You can't know. I mean, someone knew, but...
I mean, now? Someone sometime knew at some point.
Someone did it. Someone tied this guy to the camel.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't know how long the man had been on the camel either.
No, it's the 1880s. They don't have technology to, like...
Forensics.
Yeah, like, they don't know. Yeah. Long enough that, like, he was pretty decomposed by the time his head fell off. But also...
He's pretty skeletal, yeah.
He's pretty skeletal, but the head was still attached at this point, and, like, it's the desert.
That's
You're
right.
You're gonna, like, turn into a skeleton pretty fast, I think.
So, yeah, I'm thinking it wouldn't have been very long.
No. Like...
So then I think the idea that it was a would they... What was it? He's a soldier?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't make sense, because they all forgot there were camels. That would have been, like, 20 years prior.
They all forgot they were camels.
They all forgot. Well, camels.
Well, no, like, it wasn't really...
They looked at their hooves and were like, what?
It wasn't 20 years before... It was 20 years before that, like, the camels arrived. But, like, what year did the Civil War start?
Well, the Civil War was at its height in, like, 1864. Right? It ended, like, a few years after that, I think.
But they got...
So not long.
They started the Civil War in, like, the 1860s. So this is, it's, like, 20 years after they, like, set this camel
free.
Yeah,
so you think that there's been a man attached to this camel for 20 years wandering the desert?
No, but, like, I think it was not likely to be a soldier, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I guess that's true.
So, about a year after...
As good an idea as any.
About a year after the Red Ghost's first, like, deadly attack, a cowhand working at a ranch east of Phoenix was riding past a corral. And this article said it was only...
A golden corral?
A regular corral.
Okay, I'm done.
Old West corral.
What do you mean? There was no buffet?
No, there's no buffet at this corral. But this article says this corral was only used at roundup time. And I read this and I wrote it down.
What does that mean?
And I was like, I don't know what roundup time is.
Anytime is roundup time if you believe.
I am a fake cowboy. And you know what? I didn't look it up, so.
Roundup time.
But all I know.
That's incredible.
Is that when the time that this cowhand, also cowhand. Wow, what a title. I wish I was a cowhand.
Yeehaw.
But whatever roundup time is, it wasn't roundup time.
Okay.
It wasn't roundup
time. So it wasn't being used because it was not roundup
time. So, the corral, there shouldn't have been anything in the corral, but there was something in the corral. And the cowhand, he looked weird. No, he didn't look weird. He looked at the corral and he's like, that's weird.
Oh, all right. So he looked weird.
he looked weird. So he's like, what the fuck is that? So he lassoed it. Because he's a cowhand, and it's not roundup time in yeehaw.
No. He's raring to yeehaw.
He yeehawed that camel so hard. But he didn't know it was a camel. And then when he realized he had a camel lassoed, he's like, ah, shit. I should not have done
this.
He's
like, He's like, it's not a cow.
He's like,
it'll pay me for cow.
Oh, no.
Animal.
I don't know what to do with a camel on my lasso. This is not good. So the camel is obviously like, I don't like this. So he crashes
like,
into
I'm
the horse.
Camel.
The horse had like reared up on its hind legs because the horse is also like, oh, shit. What is this?
Yeah. The horse is like, hello.
The camel knocks them both off balance and it ran off.
Wow.
But the cowhand, as the camel is running off, noticed that there's still the remains of a man attached to its back. So,
stop.
Guess what camel it is? It's our pal, the Red Ghost.
It's the Red Ghost camel.
Yeah. So this was kind of the last.
Not just any camel.
This is the last, like, attack of the Red Ghost. This is
okay.
When the sightings kind of slow down. So it's like a year where this ghost is on the loose. He's wreaking havoc.
Wow. He's wreaking havoc.
There aren't any more like real authentic tales of it attacking anyone. There are people being like, I saw it and he tried to bite my dog and
he
like
tried
things
to bite
like
my
that.
Left knee, but I kicked him away.
Oh, I got this injury when the Red Ghost spit on my face and it had acid breath.
I wasn't out cheating on my wife. I was out being cornered by the Red Ghost.
Oh dear. So it seems like it had managed to rid itself of this dead guy on its back, and it seems like that was what was making it angry and violent, because
it
was pissed because it had a guy on him, and he's trying to like rid himself
I'm
of this
sure
guy.
I'm sure it didn't smell so nice. It's a dead guy on his back.
He didn't like it.
He didn't like it.
Did not like it. So that's why he's so pissed. Like that's why he's attacking people. Like obviously, camels don't really make a habit of attacking people. The other camels that were out in the desert weren't attacking people, but the Red
camels
Ghost was.
Camels are pretty chill.
This camel was pissed.
He was traveling.
Anyone that spotted it in the next few years didn't say anything about it having anything on its back. There were no more sightings of camels with dead guys on their backs.
Right.
So several years later, on February 25th, 1893, which is almost 10 years after it was first sighted, I'm just going to read the article from February 25th, 1893, in the Mojave Mojave County Miner.
Give it to us.
About the Red Ghost. So, the title of this article is "The Phantom That Terrified All Arizona for a Time."
Oh my god, that's what you want your tombstone to read, actually.
That is what I wanted to read.
Yeah.
And it was going to be "All Arizona for a Time."
For a time.
I was once in Arizona for a week. That was my time.
Yeah, for that one time.
I was the phantom that terrified all Arizona for a week in October 2018 or whatever it was.
I know you were. I wasn't even there and I know it.
The article read, and it's not about me, is about the Red Ghost.
Okay, great.
So, another ghost is laid. Another of the tribe of gaunt hobgoblins that keeps the romance of the mysterious southern deserts is gone.
No.
I also want that on my tombstone. Another of the tribe
also
of gaunt hobgoblins.
Hobgoblins?
That keep the romance of the mysterious southern deserts is gone.
We're just rascal hobgoblins.
Rascally hobgoblin.
That's
another of the unearthly dangers that the timid Mexican women used to pray against has departed. Pretty rude to call them all timid Mexican women. But
also, why are they timid? I don't think that they're timid, but sure.
I don't think so. Anyway, so Carly, are you ready for this name?
I don't know that I am, but I'm really excited to be.
Mizzou Hastings.
I wasn't ready. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Mizzou.
That's a Mizzou, if you ask me.
Name the Mizzou. So Mizzou Hastings of Orr, which I guess is a place, of Orr. Was the priest.
Do you think there's ore there? Okay, sorry.
I would assume so. There's probably, like, mines.
So that it's not like, please, sir, can I have some more? It's more
no,
just,
it's
like,
ore. It's ore, like, there? There's
like
ore. Like, there's minerals here.
Like, mining.
So, okay. Mizzou Hastings of Orr was the priest that exorcised this phantom.
Stop! Oh, my
Iconic.
God.
Who is the
Iconic!
Author of this?
Yeah, I want them to write my obituary.
Yeah, I think they're dead.
I want their ghost to write my obituary.
Mizu, our good friend, has a ranch a little above the gold camp on the San Francisco River. He woke up one morning and saw through the window of his cabin a big red camel banqueting in his turnip patch.
No, Mizu, not his patch.
Mizu, it's the American way. He took a dead rest on the windowsill and blazed away. He got the camel.
The American way.
He shot it. He killed it.
Just shoot it right out your window, father. Amen.
He's not actually a priest.
I know. Amen.
Amen. When he went out to examine the beast, he found that he was all scarred up and had evidently had a very hard time. He was covered with a perfect network of knotted rawhide strips. They had been on him so long that some of the strands had cut their way into the flesh.
No! I'm really sad!
Yeah. So that's why a camel's so pissed. Like,
the
straps...
Yeah,
no shit. They're, it's, like, tight. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Like the article said, evidently had a very hard time.
Very hard time.
All it wanted was some turnips, and Mizu Hastings
shot it. Vibe. Yeah, Mizu Hastings was like, get gone.
So Mizu Hastings apparently... Oh, what did it say? I didn't write it down, but it said that he was, like, gonna make some cowboy boots out of the camel.
Stop! That's... Okay. I mean, if you're gonna kill a camel, you gotta make some boots.
Gotta make some camel hide cowboy boots.
That's correct. That's the adult saying.
That's honestly cool as hell.
I mean, he's already gone, so better use it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, the Red Ghost... This is the end of the Red Ghost's reign of terror, officially, as an alive Red Ghost.
Right.
So many continued to see the final remaining feral camels in the Southwest. Others. So some people will be like, this is the end. He was the last one. A lot of other people will tell you that camels continued to roam the American deserts for decades after. There have been sightings of them for another, like, 50 years.
Wow.
There have also been sightings more recently, but they are more, like, ghostly. They're not necessarily...
Oh, my jaw's on the floor!
Real camels. Any other sightings are like, oh, I saw the red ghost. Like, it's still kind of a thing. That goes around. I don't know how much of a thing it is anymore, but there are red ghost sightings. If you're in the deserts of Arizona, some say, you might just come across a big old red camel carrying a headless rider. The red ghost become real red ghost.
Dope!
So there's ghosts.
I love that.
Sort of.
Wow. It is kind of ghostly. If people are still seeing them, they're definitely not alive camels, because camels live 100 years.
Yeah, I feel like that was the name of the article was the ghost camels of the American Southwest, and I was like, you have my attention.
Tell me more.
What?
Ghosts and camels?
Ghost who? Of where?
Ghost himself first?
Who's?
Oh my god. Cecilia, I'm obsessed with that. Victorian camels.
So now we know more about camels.
Loose in the desert.
Mm.
Wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm.
A mysterious one who suddenly has a man attached.
Mm-hmm.
I like...
His head
don't
falls
know
off.
What to do. I don't know what to do with myself and this knowledge now. It's
you just
too
gotta
powerful.
Think about it forever. We gotta make a movie about the Red Ghost.
Okay.
We got plenty of ranchers and cowhands and prospectors and
prospectors
Mizu
and
Hastings.
That one job at the beginning you said, it's like a military job.
Oh, yeah. What was he? The Toastmaster? The quarter?
The Toastmaster!
I was going to say the Toastmaster General.
He's definitely a kitchen appliance. For sure.
He's the Quartermaster Major. So close.
That's yep, that's him. That's
not
that's
quite
it.
The Toastmaster General. Oh, no. Yep.
Yep.
There's all kinds of guys.
There's all kinds of guys. Wow. I don't know what to do, but I'm very excited about that. It's really, really fun.
I hope you all have good dreams of camel.
Just so many ghost camels.
Big ass camels.
Riding into the desert sunset of your sleeping mind.
Mm.
Yeah. That's beautiful. What a beautiful story, Celia.
Oh boy. So this episode's gone long. So, Carly, can I ask you a question?
I would love it if you asked me a question.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have not seen a single ghost lately.
Oh, dang.
I'm sad to report.
Oh, dingy dang dong.
Ding, ding, dong. Cecilia.
Yes.
I, too, have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No. Unless we count, I mean, we were talking earlier in a past episode about snow being millions of tiny little ghosts falling from the sky, then yes, it was snow when I walked home today.
Right. I mean, we did talk about that last week when we had Cameron McDonald on the podcast. But yeah, I didn't even see that. I didn't even look out my window to see it. I was I know it's snowing out there. It's
gonna be lots of snow. It's happening again.
It's happening again.
Oh dear.
Oh dear me.
Do you have any other pressing concerns that we must talk about, or
I don't have any other pressing concerns that I can think of. But I'm excited and glad to be here, and that's all. That was exciting and pressing. Is there exciting and pressing things for you?
No. I'm working again, but I can talk about that next week. Because I only did one day. I worked one day, and that day was today.
Yeah. You can fill us in once you get a better feel for how the vibes are now.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how those vibes are. So far, the vibes are normal.
Well, that's good.
Normal is
at a scarcity these days. So.
Normal is no longer normal. So
normal is nice.
If you want to find us on the internet, you can go to Instagram, and we are at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod, and you can give us a little follow.
That's correct.
We're also on Twitter at GAE Pod. We got a TikTok now.
Oh, my AirPods died. A little ticky tock.
My AirPods are at 0%.
Oh, boy. Living on the edge.
Uh-oh. All right. Gotta finish it up. We got a little ticky tock. It's also at Ghost or Everywhere Pod. We haven't posted to it yet, but keep an eye out, and you just might get a little TikTok from us.
Exciting content coming to ya.
Hell yeah. So you can do that. And before my AirPods die, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Three, two, one.
We didn't do it at the same time.
We didn't do it at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.